Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a hump day baseball twin bill tonight on NBC Sports Chicago and our family of networks at 7 on the main channel. Cubs look to put last night's blowout loss behind them. John Lester taking the hill. Cubs and Indians, Len and JD have the call. Top of the hour. And on NBC Sports Chicago Plus, it's Game 3 between the Orioles and White Sox with Dylan Covey looking to lead the Sox to their second straight win in the series. Jason and Stoney have the call at 7. Get set. Sports Talk Live is on location. A guaranteed rate field, the Shy Sox Bar and Grill. Our first White Sox authentic fan night starts right now. And good evening. Welcome to Sports Talk Live across the street from Guaranteed Rate Field. I'm David Kaplan. Everything brought to you, as always, by our great partners with the Chevy Silverado. Mark Carmen, Fansided.com, and WGN Radio, and White Sox postgame, and Phil Rogers, veteran baseball scribe. All right, the Orioles in for their third in this series. And Phil, the big story has been Manny Machado. But let's talk about Manny Machado from a White Sox perspective, because you said to Mark and I before we came on, better chance, in your opinion, that Machado's playing there in a home uniform than on the north side.
Well, there's a lot bigger need on the south side, and I think when you get past the 2018 season, you look at 2019 and beyond, you look at a young free agent, you know, they need a guy like that to add from outside to the young talent that they've accumulated. I think he could be a very good fit there, but I think it's going to be quite a bidding war for him in the offseason wherever he winds up.
The White Sox have the money to do it, bottom line. They're in the rebuild, and they're not spending dough. They're making money because of it, which is not – they're doing what's right for the baseball, but it's also helping them financially, right? And here's a guy – I think if Manny Machado's smart, he looks at the White Sox and he sees – Eloy Jimenez coming. He sees Dylan Cease coming. He sees Michael Kopech coming. He sees Jose Abreu still here and not, you know, I don't know, 3 more years in his prime. I think that's a fair assessment. I would look at it and be very intrigued about coming to the White Sox if I was Machado. He's going to have a ton of options. But I don't see how it fits for the Cubs at all. You have to give up something, and then you got a ton of guys that you're going to have to
You have to give up anything if you sign him in the fall.
Well, sure. But, okay, you're signing him in the fall, and then you're punting on Rizzo, you're punting on Bryant. I know you think they've got endless money. I just think he fits better over here financially. And young guy right in the – I mean, it just to me it makes sense for him.
I honestly don't really see the need for Manny Machado and the Cubs. I mean, they do have flexibility. Chris Bryant's versatility could allow him to go to an outfield corner to move in there. But, you know, the middle infielders, Russell – you know, and Baez, I don't really know why you want to go out and disrupt that. And you bring him in, and to Mark's point, too, you know, it's not just the whoever you might not sign in the future, but, you know, I think you're going to have guys who have had success there, the World Series guys, looking around going, what about us? Why do you need to bring this guy in?
Right, right.
You know, it's interesting looking at this White Sox team, and I was talking with a few guys. Chuck Garfine was down there. Mark was down there. We're talking in the dugout, and I said, the White Sox have a lot of good young players. They've got Michael Kopech coming. They've got Eloy Jimenez coming. They've got Jose Abreu. They need a face of their franchise that speaks the language, no disrespect meant in any way, but somebody that they can trot out goes, that's the face of our franchise, and I don't think that can be a pitcher.
Are you forgetting Jose Abreu? I mean, he speaks the language. He may not be the public face of that team.
I'm talking about somebody that the fan base connects with.
I believe the fan base connects with Jose Abreu.
Much like a Rizzo does in the community. I'm talking about that type
There's
of guy.
Anthony Rizzo is almost a one-off. There's, you know, to get a guy his age with his experience when those other kids got there, nobody's going to be able to go out and replicate that, I don't think. But I think Jose Abreu is that kind of a leader. You know, I don't necessarily think the face of the franchise thing is that big of a deal.
And what will connect with the fans, Cappy? If they start winning games, it's not going to matter.
No question. But a guy like Bryce Harper here, now you get a shot of adrenaline into the franchise and the fan base.
You also might get a car right off the cliff, too. I mean, you know, if you swing for the fences with just a big, you know, it's not – and if you look at how Rick Hahn has orchestrated the rebuild, it's not about the buzz and the big fan excitement. It's about building a real team that
for sustained success.
Is built to last. So, you know, go out and do it. Don't do it for the fan value, for the excitement value. Do it for the best piece, you know, at the right
to help
price
your team
that's
win.
Gonna build a winner.
All right, our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Go to NBCSportsChicago.com/vote. Which prospect are you most excited about watching play right across the street at Guaranteed Rate Field? Would it be a guy like Eloy Jimenez? Would it be a Dylan Cease? Would it be a Michael Kopech? Your thoughts, NBCSportsChicago.com/vote, and you can make your selection and see it tabulate right on the screen. All right, let's move to the National Football League, who made news today coast to coast when they announced a new set of standards for the national anthem. Gone is kneeling for the national anthem. You can either stay in your locker room or you could stand as the anthem is played, but there will be no kneeling allowed. Teams could be fined and penalized. Bears player rep Sam Acho had this to say today after their minicamp.
From the beginning, no one's intent, and I think no one's purpose was to disrespect the flag. Everyone's purpose, starting with Colin Kaepernick, Michael Thomas, Eric Reed, who still doesn't have a job, was to protest police brutality against people of color. And so I think that still stands, right? You're going to find a way to stand up for people who are being unjustly treated. Find a way to stick up for justice in whatever way, shape, or form you can possibly do it. So to ask if I'm okay with the ruling, I don't know if that's the right question to ask. I think the right question would be, well, what do you do now? And I think about me and I think about what guys that on this team are doing. Like, we're already in the community. We're already finding ways to protest police brutality against people of color. We're working with the police. We're working with people of color. And we're doing it. And I think protesting is a great avenue to do that, to bring awareness. Obviously, the protests have brought a ton of awareness to the abuses of power that are going on in our country. And I think that was a great method to start a conversation. And now what we're seeing is we're seeing action. I don't think anything really changes at this point, right? Obviously, NFLPA goes back and says, okay, what do we do now as a union? What do we do? How will we respond? But to be honest, I think a lot of players are happy about the conversations that are happening. So the protests serve their purpose. And if guys still want to protest, obviously the ruling is that if you don't want to stand for the anthem, according to the owners, you can stay inside. You may see a whole team stay inside like Pittsburgh did when we played them in week 3. So I'm not Nostradamus, so I don't know what happens next, but I will say we continue to do what we're doing and speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves.
Look, I don't talk politics on sports shows I host, but this is an issue that the NFL addressed, and we have to mention what went on. I did not like players kneeling, but I will defend to the death their right to do it. And I wonder if this was done in concert with the Players Association enough, or will we still see more changes?
Well, it wasn't done with the players. That's the thing. You look at the way the NBA partners with their players and the way the NFL is partnering with their players or not partnering with their players, and you look at the rhetoric that comes from the NFL versus, you know, an NBA that is climbing on the NFL. I don't think it's ever necessarily going to pass football, but there is – you just look at the way they're both being handled. This is like 1 foot in, 1 foot out. You can stay in the locker room, but if you come out, you have to stand. If you kneel, we're going to fine you. It's just ridiculous. Partner with your players, come to a resolution, and all stand up there and go forward. They created this. They have to fix it, and I don't think what they did today did that at all.
They did create this. I mean, no question, with owners like Jerry Jones making a huge issue out of
right.
it while other owners didn't make a big deal about it. I mean, this is incrementally better because at least it's a policy. But the thing is really just silly. I think it was the Steelers that first game stayed in the locker room the whole time.
Right.
I mean,
they had Alejandro Villanueva, who had served. He stood in the tunnel and stood up with his hand over his heart. Then he had teammates in the locker. There's got to be a partnership, like Mark said. I thought Adam Silver's done a magnificent job bringing the players in, taking the big-name guys and saying, how do you guys want to handle this? Let's do something together here. We don't see that from Roger Goodell.
Well, same in baseball too. I mean, in baseball, there is a joint, operation between the owners and the players. I mean, that's why we've seen the labor deals work so smoothly the last number of years.
All right, let's take our first time out here at the Shy Sox Bar and Grill Cross Street, Guaranteed Rate Field. David DeJesus, my partner on Cubs Pre-Post, he will join us here on set, and then the next segment. Ozzie Guillen will join us. We'll talk Cubs, we'll talk Sox, and a whole lot more. Stick around. We'll be right back.
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/Baseball Night in Chicago.
Baseball on both our channels tonight. On our main channel, the Cubs and the Cleveland Indians close out a two-game set at Wrigley Field. And then the White Sox and the Orioles will play on our Plus channel tonight on NBC Sports Chicago. David DeJesus and I will have the post-game show from our studios following the Indians and the Cubs. First pitch right after 7 o'clock with Len and JD. And we welcome my partner to our set here on Sports Talk Live, David DeJesus, with us. All right, so let's talk about the Cubs. They were blown out last night.
Yeah.
I have maintained... I choose to take a macro version.
Yeah, let's see
where
they.
Oh, yeah. Where are they at the trade deadline? Where are they headed? But I'm never going to tell anyone how to be a fan.
Yeah.
I've tried that; it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Where are you on the Cubs? That they're up and down 25-20 right
you
now.
Know, they're in a good spot. I feel that you know they haven't really all clicked yet. Rizzo's still hitting 200. Really, there's only been two quality starters in Hendricks and Lester. So the other three guys have been so up and down. So you really don't know. This team hasn't really gelled yet, I would say. So they have a lot of optimism, but the signs of these guys mentally, it seems like the season's starting to weigh on them just a little bit. And like Darvish, Chatwood right now, he did some bullpen stuff, and he just couldn't find it.
What are you seeing from Rizzo?
Right now with Rizzo, he's had the last two games, he's had hard contact. He's not getting hits. And you can just see, once you're not getting hits, you just have that little tentative on that fastball. He's missing that fastball, and then he's getting himself wanting to hit home. Hit, I want to get some extra base hits. And that front side starts flying a little bit. Once the front starts, that front side opens up first, you're done. So I want to see him start going back. We always talk about
up
going
the middle
center,
and the other way.
Left center. Left center locks him in. He's one of the best hitters when he's going left center.
David, do you worry about his back at all? I mean, you know, when a guy goes on the DL early in the year with a back problem,
yeah.
You know, and he's played through a lot of stuff, and for him to, like, go to the DL tells me that something was going on and, you know, was it fixed or is this going to be an issue that, you know, contributes to the performance?
Yeah. Anthony Rizzo's not going to put it on injuries at all. You know, there's some lingering back there, but he's a worker. You know, that's the thing. That's the problem, maybe. He's working too much to get his swing back, taking too many swings. That could do something to the back, but Anthony's not going to put that on it. He's going to go out there and play. It's just, you don't know. It's just one of those years. We all have one of those years. I had it in 2011 where I was hitting like 220 at the All-Star break, and I was a 290 hitter up until that point. You just have some of those seasons, but you got to be able to mentally withstand that and keep bringing it every day.
You know, if you think back 2016, I think Rizzo was hitting 229 in late May and ended up hitting in the 290s.
Yeah.
So it's there.
Yeah.
What about Chris Bryant? Because his numbers, when you look at him, you go, wow, eye-popping.
Yeah.
One of the best in the game. But I still haven't seen the power come back.
Yeah, you know, he's there. That swing is so short and quick to the ball. He's staying on top of the one weakness that Chris Bryant has really overcome is that high inside fastball. He is hitting, driving it the other way and driving out of the park.
Seems like more line drives now.
He's staying on top of the ball. Maybe that his launch angle is not 37 degrees instead of 40. I don't know, but I think it's going to come with him. The weather that the Cubs have played in hasn't been perfect for hitting home runs. Once the summer comes around, I think the balls will start flying for him.
That's an understatement. Hasn't been perfect. I live here. It's been brutal.
Exactly. It's tough to play in those games. And, you know, at Wrigley, it's a pitcher's park.
How does Javi go from red hot to nothing to – like it's not just like red hot to nothing. It's like swinging completely at everything, like totally loses any discipline.
It's tough to watch, you know, as a former player, when a guy has success and you see that, okay, he's making an adjustment. He has taken that step in his career to be that guy. And to go back to swing at everything, as a pitcher, why are you throwing anything near the plate right now? Like, he is going to – out of hand, he's swinging at something. So – with him, he's got to go back and just trust his hands. It's all about trusting. We are a big part of the park. We keep saying it, but it's believing it. A lot of guys can think it, but it's actually doing it. That's the tough part for them.
David, what's your take on the Brewers? You know, they win again today. They dominate Arizona. They, you know, their pitchers pretty much shut Goldschmidt down the whole series. And, you know, they took that big step forward last year. Didn't get over the hump, but they, you know, with Kane and Yelich, that's a tough team.
Those two pieces have been a great pickup for them. Just leaders, veterans, guys that you can lean on. And then you have a pitching staff that's young and just competing. They're just going out there competing, playing good baseball. They're just playing winning baseball, grinding out games, and it's tough to watch Paul Goldschmidt right now. Man,
struggling.
That
big
guy
time.
Is struggling right
big
now.
Big time. Thank you. I'll see you on the postgame show.
Get out, guys.
We'll get to all watch right. the
you
game
You guys are
together.
Staying? What's up?
He's got to do baseball night in Chicago.
I got work. I got other work to do.
He's got stuff to do, man. All right, we'll take a timeout. The great Ozzie Guillen joins us on set, one of our favorites. Ozzie will talk White Sox baseball with us coming up next.
Have you ever wanted to watch a Cubs game with David Kaplan? Now's your chance. Every authentic fan night, tune in to NBC Sports Chicago's Facebook page and watch the sixth inning sidecast with Cap, David DeJesus, and more special guests. They'll take your questions as they comment on the game action.
Back on Sports Talk Live, here's a reminder for you. It's White Sox Authentic Fan Night at Guaranteed Rate Field. Make sure you share your Sox fandom using the hashtag AuthenticFan, and your photos might be showing during tonight's game. And Ozzie Guillen joins us here on set. You looking dapper, man. Looking good.
I work hard for this.
So what is your take? Because I thought Mark made a valid point that Machado, if he looks at what's going on here, he can be the face of that franchise.
Wow, this kid can be the face of, you know, the face of a lot of franchise. You know what I mean? Like I talked to him a few minutes ago, and I asked him every city his goal. They go to ask the same way, you know. He's a free agent. He got to go to New York. Same people got to go talk to him. They got to go to Toronto. People got to talk to him. It's funny because I know these kids, and he was like what 10, 11 years old. I asked for his family. I said, you're the only one can use number 13 with the White Sox.
There you go.
I will give you the number 13. You come to, but you got to buy my house too.
Nice.
I'm getting older to have a big house, but. You know, it's just funny because a lot of people, the Baltimore Orioles come here twice, they got to talk about it twice. You know, a lot of people love to have this kid in the lineup, and I don't blame him.
Would he be the guy that would want to be the one guy? Like, if he goes to the Yankees, he's one of, whatever, four or five guys. But here, he would get a lot of the attention, almost all of it instantly, and then maybe that would diminish over time.
Well, you know, I love Abreu. But the funny thing about it is, like, you know what I mean, I think White Sox have a plan. And I think they just stick up with the plan and believe in the plan they have. If they have the plan to get him, I think that's going to be amazing. But how much money are they going to pay him?
A lot.
Besides that, if you going to have enough money to get somebody out to help. Because I don't think right now the White Sox don't need Machado to resolve the problem they have. They're going to need more than that. And what is that? That's the future. That's in the minor league. That's a few years ago to come. If I have a question, if Machado come here and they wait like two, three years for the minor league guys, Abreu's going to be in the club. Moncada be in the club. You know, it's a lot of things they got to put it together if they want to sign money.
Ozzie, when you look at him playing shortstop this year after all those years playing third, would you see him for the next few years as a shortstop or a third baseman or – how would you use him just to best use him?
He's a great athlete. He's a great athlete. You know, I mean, I was wrong another time in my life when I say Manny Machado never will play baseball, never will play shortstop because he played with Osney in a traveling team back in Miami. And all of a sudden, this kid come to be a phenomenal ball player. But he's a good athlete. You can ask Machado, can you play the outfield? You got to go out there and do it. But I think he moved to shortstop this year because – now the team, they got a glue for him. They can look for shortstop or third baseman. Now they have two. No, but I think he's a good athlete to play shortstop. He showed how good a shortstop can be. We all know how great he is in third base. And when you're great in the third base, you move to shortstop, you think the guy's open. They're not going to talk to him about play defense, just to be a leader on the team and just to hit. You can hit. You can play shortstop, or you can play third base. You can play anywhere you want.
How long would you wait to call up guys like Kopech and Eloy Jimenez?
Don't leave. I'm not Rick Hammer or any part of that. I say, why they have to call these kids? What's the reason? Because we want it? Because fans want it? Media want it? No. I think Ricky had to call those guys when they think they should, they're going to. Why? They're not going anywhere right now. If you put those kids, you know, look at what happened to former. They're sending down. But they give the kid a bad year experience, then call him up. But right now, I don't think, those kids are bloody, the Guerreros. Guerreros still in minor league, and he got better numbers than them. You know what I mean? The kid just called up from Washington. It was an emergency.
Right.
They need it, and the kids work out. But I think Ricky got to stay. He should stay with his program, stay with the minor league system, what they want, and bring all those guys when they have to bring them. Don't hurry to do that just to please the fans or the media.
Well said. What would you do with these guys? Because obviously Eloy Jimenez and Michael Kopech, talent-wise, are better than some of the guys that will be out there playing tonight.
Well, us. That's no doubt about it.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. But if you're going to bring those kids and those kids fail from now to September, things change a little bit about it.
And there's still development. I mean,
right.
It doesn't hurt to get, the more plate appearances you see in the minor leagues, the more games you play. I mean, it helps. And these, you're not talking about guys that are 24, 25, that they're going to use up their prime years. So I'm with Ozzy. I see no real rush.
How important is the manager? We have this argument all the time. Like, I would say in 2005, the White Sox don't win the World Series unless you're in the dugout. You took so much heat on for that team. But other people say, well, he's just there and they're worth like 5%.
Well, I got devils in that team. I got mans in that team. You know, whatever I say, I did, they take it like a man. They take it very professional. Look in the lineup, AJ, DJ. They have Konerko, guy. Now, it's a little different. Now, you got to talk to kids. Like yesterday, they take him out of the game, the catcher.
Well, Castillo.
Yeah, Castillo. I said, why the manager have to take a player like that out of the game because he's not run? Well, you're not a superstar. You have to run the bases every day harder because you try to stay in the lineup. And I don't see a reason why kids like that now, they don't run the bases. That's easy. Go there, and when the team play bad, that does not look too good.
Thank you for being here. Guys, thank you for coming. White Sox and Orioles tonight on our Plus channel. Cubs and Indians on our main channel. We'll see you back in the studio tomorrow. It's a 5:30 start tomorrow from NBC Studios. We'll see you then. Have a great night. Enjoy some baseball.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.